Well, good afternoon, everyone. And on behalf of our Reese the Senior Bowl organization, the City of Mobile, Mobile County, welcome to the 69th annual Reese the Senior Bowl. Obviously, we're super excited about getting the week underway, and all of our players are here. I'll address one player here at the end of my comments. But want to start off first by saying thank you to Reese's out of Hershey, Pennsylvania. Huge partnership with them. Obviously, they've been here for the last 4 years. We've extended with them in the off season, so they'll continue to be the title sponsor for us. And they have a partnership with something called Feeding America. And so they're going to get engaged with us along the Gulf Coast in terms of our local food bank called Feeding the Gulf Coast. And so the players will be involved in that activity on Friday morning when we do our community service day. Adidas is back for a second year with the uniforms, gear, cleats, etc. We're really pleased that they're with us. And then, of course, Morgan Stanley, Global Sports and Entertainment, they will handle the financial education for our players again this year. It's been an incredible program for us. I wish I could have gone to it 25 years ago because it's just really valuable information. But we try to help the players grasp the understanding that this is not the end of their college career. That's already over with. This is the beginning of their pro career. And so we try to encourage them in ways in terms of how to be a pro. And, you know, part of being a professional athlete is knowing how to handle the media, knowing how to manage your money, and then deciding how much community involvement you're going to have. And we give them elements of all of those things while they're here on the ground this week. The two coaching staffs, I met with Bill O'Brien and Vance Joseph earlier this afternoon. I think both, you know, are disappointed that they're here because of the record this past season, but I think they're both very excited about the potential of getting a head start on the draft and perhaps having a turnaround season next year. So we were pleased with the two coaching staffs and what they have in store for the players. Roster-wise, I know you'll want to ask me questions about certain individual players, but one thing of note is this year we have five underclassmen graduates. That was an exemption the league gave us several years ago. This year we had five total players that we were able to invite that graduated in December. And then we have a couple of other, quote, juniors that were ultimately ruled eligible. Tanner Lee, the quarterback from Nebraska, and then Byron Pringle, the wide receiver from K-State. So they declared, but they didn't have to. They were eligible for the draft, and that's why they're designated that way. Let's see. In terms of some of the elements of this year's game, the practices, of course, will be on NFL Network. The game will be on NFL Network, and then ESPN will be here for 2 days of practice, Wednesday and Thursday. The NFL officials will be on the ground all week for the practices and, of course, obviously the game on Saturday. We started a new partnership with Zebra Technology this year. They're the GPS tracking company. So all the players will be chipped. All the footballs will be chipped for the practices and the games in terms of being able to align some real-time numbers with what the NFL and the scouts and the personnel people are seeing on the field. Let's see. Anything else? In terms of some of the game rules, we'll have a kickoff to start the game and a kickoff to start the second half. We've tried to limit that down. Obviously, it's something that is important because we have Daniel Carlson and Michael Badgley here from the University of Miami and of course, Auburn. But no punt rushes. We will continue with the extra points from the 33-yard line. In the second quarter, Reese's has a promotion called Go for Two. We will continue with that this year. And then one final footnote on game day. We put together a Reese's Senior Bowl community choir, so they will do the national anthem. We'll have a flyover, and then the great Talladega College Tornado Marching Band will be here for pregame and halftime. And then I'll open up for questions. One last comment. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma, was scheduled to come in here yesterday afternoon, and unfortunately had a personal family matter that cropped up. So he did go to Austin. He will be arriving tomorrow in advance of the North team's practice. And the plan is to have him on the field tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 when the North is at Ladd Peebles Stadium. So unfortunately, something came up that prevented him from being here yesterday and today, but he will be here tomorrow. That has been communicated to the Denver Broncos as well. Of course, they had put a request in to spend some extra time with Baker. So all of that has been discussed, and we're all on the same page here. So hopefully he can get on the ground and get underway. We're really excited about all of our quarterbacks. Obviously, Baker and Josh Allen are two headline players, but there are a number of compelling stories when you talk about the rosters and the players that are here. Every single young man here has a story to tell, and hopefully you guys will be and girls will be able to tell their stories to the rest of the country while they're here. So I'd love to open up to any questions you might have, because we do have three players that we're going to try to get up here before their orientation meeting at 6:30.
Phil, Zebra and the RFID chips, still new technology, but can you talk about maybe how beneficial that could be for the scouting community?
Well, I think when you're out there watching some of these players, you say, oh man, he showed a burst of speed, or he showed acceleration. You know, you put it in your little notepad and you'll have some numbers that can actually support what you're seeing. This is obviously something that's been going on the college level. It started, if I'm not mistaken, over in the Premier League with the soccer teams, and, you know, it sort of made its way to our country and now in the sport of football. And I think Zebra has a relationship with 19 NFL teams, and they'll probably have the whole league covered within another year or so.
How much? I think there's one question, but probably two different answers. What do Baker and Josh most need to show here?
Yeah, John. I think with Josh Allen, you know, the fact that he played at a mid-major program, obviously his statistical numbers are not going to be overly impressive. 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I mean, the way these guys throw it around now, you know, there are players that have 30 and 40 touchdowns in a season. But I think with Josh, in some ways, it's going to be from the neck up. In the intangibles, the leadership, I think the teams really want to get to know him better from a personal standpoint. I met Josh down at the Manning Academy last summer in June. He was very impressive down in Thibodeau, throwing the ball around, and, you know, he looks like an NFL quarterback. So we were really pleased to get him in our lineup. And again, I think that, you know, the leadership, the intangibles, the character, all those things should check out. But the teams haven't had a chance to talk to really any of these players. And so now they get that chance to have the face-to-face meeting and decide, is this someone that we want to represent our franchise? I think with Baker, there's probably a couple things. First of all, on the field, we're going to get a chance to see him operate in a huddle from under center, play action fakes, maybe some different types of progression reads in the passing game. And then off the field for Baker, I think that people, you know, we all have a perception of what he's like through the media in this past year. So now he gets a chance to address and really tackle who he is as a person, what he represents, how he will fit into a locker room. So I think with Baker, there's really two things, on and off the field. With Josh, I think everyone knows he's got the arm talent. They want to see the accuracy on the field and then get to know him better off the field. And I should mention Mason Rudolph, of course, is a quarterback that was scheduled to be here. Unfortunately, he had a foot injury at the bowl game. It was unresolved at this point. So he is here, and I know that probably some of you have seen him, but he will be here last night, tonight, and after the weigh-in and practice tomorrow, he'll be headed back for more rehab. So unfortunately, he was unable to participate. Yeah, Shaquem's one of the, you know, most amazing stories of this whole college football season. So it was quite an honor to be able to invite him to the game. I mean, this is a highly unusual circumstance where you're talking about someone trying to make the jump from college football to the NFL with one hand. And so I think that with Shaquem, to me, the floor with him is he's a special teams demon and some sort of backup defensive player, maybe as a linebacker. But the upside for him is that he can come off the edge. He was very effective as a pass rusher at different times in his career. He can walk out and play in space. He's actually got quite a bit of versatility. And of course, Scott Frost said that, you know, the first practice when they were on the field, they were like, we don't even notice anything about it. We think he can play football, and hopefully that'll be the same thing that happens with the league.
Two general questions, just the rosters overall. What do you like? How do you feel about the strength of them? And secondly, just obviously this is the last chance to see these guys in a real football
game. Sure.
What is the best benefit you think NFL scouts get from this week?
Yeah, we talked to the players earlier today and then the group that arrived yesterday and talked about the first impression that they can make from a personality standpoint. Because, look, when we go into these schools, you rarely meet the player. You see him in practice, you talk to the coaches and the staff, but you don't really get to talk to the individual. So that first impression is important, and then the lasting impression, as you point out, in regards to this is their last time on the football field until the draft. You know, the quarterbacks are going to obviously get a ton of attention. I like this tight end class. We brought 8 tight ends this year because I thought there was real depth there in terms of this senior group, Troy Fumagalli, Mike Gesicki. Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State was one of the first players I saw back in August. And so I am impressed by the tight end group. And then the cornerback group here, to me, is probably the most fascinating group of individuals. We've got 13 corners, but 6 of them came from what you would call smaller schools. So I think that, you know, with that being said, this is going to be quite a challenge for them to step up in competition. Of course, Michael Joseph from Dubuque Division III school is here, and there's a number of players, Danny Johnson from Southern, Saran Neal from Jacksonville State, and on down the line. So I think there'll be, I think they can really make a mark if they can actually hold up and cover some of these big time receivers.
Phil, a common topic addressed at least by a draft Twitter is these offensive tackles from these D2, D3 programs that are here this week, like Desmond Harrison, Alex Kappa, etc. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest thing that they need to do this week?
Well, everyone focuses on the practices, and they are important, but the most important element of those practices is the one-on-ones. And the reason for that, and I told the players this today and then yesterday, is that a lot of the clubs, especially, you know, the head coaches don't have time to watch 500 draft prospects, but they do have time to watch a profile tape. And that profile tape will have 70 or 80 plays from the season, then the one-on-ones here, then the combine, and then ultimately their pro day. And so in 15 or 20 minutes, you pop that tape in, you pull it out, and you have a picture of that player. So those one-on-ones are vitally important. I remember when Ali Marpet was here a few years ago, Division III. You know, he was about 50-50 in the one-on-ones, but that's all that he really needed to show. You know, he wasn't 0-10. He was five wins, 5 losses, or whatever the numbers were. And so I think that those smaller school prospects, if they can just show and flash that they can compete, then they have a chance. Unfortunately, today, Desmond Harrison, the tackle from West Georgia, has a bit of a knee issue, so he will not be able to participate. He will be here overnight and for the weigh-in tomorrow, and then he will go back to Tampa for more rehab. But it just was an unfortunate circumstance, a bit of an unresolved situation that occurred with him in their last game back in November. Yeah, I would say with Marcus, I think he was on our watch list in August. And then we had, you know, I have between myself and we have 2 young aspiring scouts, Patrick Wu and Zach Gard, that are part of our staff. And those guys get out every weekend somewhere. But then also every June we have a scout school here. And so I have a number of individuals that have attended that event, and they're stationed all over the country. And so we had a number of scouts this year that were between jobs or trying to get into the league. So I'll send them out and get some experience. And one of our guys obviously saw Marcus Davenport. And then, you know, really, I think that he's probably the player in this game that is not well known. But by the time we get to Saturday, he's going to be, you know, the talk of the game perhaps. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't use the word the naughty list. I got emotional about it a few years ago because of some of the situations that happened. But this year, I would say this. I do think that the agent community and the players themselves do have a respect for the game. They understand that, hey, if I'm not going to play, then just decline it, politely decline it. Or if I do have an injury going on, just make sure that they notify us early enough. Now, you know, we lost a number of players as we've been announcing these accepted invites. We've lost a number of players, but since this is my sixth game, we've had as low as 15, and then this year we ended up with 30 players total. Now, we had 28 back-to-back years 4 or 5 years ago, and then we had 23, I think, last year. So it fluctuates, and it just sort of depends on the year. But honestly, it takes 135 invites to get 110 players. That's pretty much the norm for us. And the great thing about our event is that when a player opts out or falls out, you know, it doesn't take long for the word to spread, and my phone's blowing up with other players wanting to get in here. So there's a ton of examples over the years where someone was a late add and ended up making a career for himself in the NFL.
Do you find it difficult as the years go by to find offensive linemen? There's a lot of discussion about how offensive line quality is, you know, maybe decreased in college.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it's definitely a more difficult projection when a lot of these teams are in two-point stances and, you know, there's not a lot of movement going forward. It's all backwards, so to speak. And you see college teams play with more of a five-man unit rather than a standalone left tackle. And so it's a bit of a challenge that in that regard. I think in football in general, you look at all the restrictions that are in place in high school, limited spring practice, limited training camp, limited padded practice. Then you get to college, same thing. You know, 15 days in spring, a third of that is not padded. Then you get to training camp, just one a days. And all those things are in place to try to make the game safer. However, a player that comes into the NFL now as a third-year junior, his resume is about that thick compared to someone 10 years ago that played 4 or 5 years with all the practices and all the games in terms of technique. And I think that's the biggest challenge for all the players that come here because, you know, I do the Bama games on Saturdays and oftentimes go to NFL games on Sunday. It's the same sport, two different games, two completely different games. Now, on the flip side of that, we have Brett Toth here from Army. He's our first West Point player. Brett Toth has been a three-point stance going this way his whole career. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to be here, and he's going to be in a two-point stance trying to protect the edge. So that's going to be a real eye-opening experience, I think, for him. But he's got the athletic ability to do it. And, of course, he played in the East-West Shrine last week. So he's got a week under his belt in terms of some of these new fundamentals.
Phil, when you have discussions with the coaches of the respective NFL teams here, how much do you get into the types of drills that want to make sure that they utilize mm-hmm. in practices that are what the scouts and other
sure.
staff want to see?
Yeah, Vic, I would say that, you know, we try to de-emphasize a lot of time on special teams, you know, because you've got 900 NFL people, and while special teams is important, and this it can certainly be a mark that one of these players makes, they're the one-on-ones. That's what we emphasize. And when I talked to Bill and Vance both, you know, just said, hey, look, Tuesday's sort of a break-in practice, installation practice, and then Wednesday and Thursday you can ramp it up, but just make sure we have a lot of one-on-ones because that's what one of the attractions is in terms of evaluating this game. Sure. Yeah, you know, I try to go to a lot of small schools because I want to go eyeball that player and say, okay, what will he look like when he gets on the field at Ladd Peebles Stadium? Because the last thing we want to do is bring a player here that's completely overwhelmed and his stock goes that way. We want somebody that can come in here, compete, and his stock goes up. And so we spend a lot of time on the small college campus. And, of course, you know, I think the way recruiting is now, with the big schools having to make so much of an early assessment, 14, 15, 16-year-old players, there's a lot of pressure on the major schools to commit early to these younger players, and you don't really know what they're going to turn out to be by the time they're 20 or 21. And so what's happening is A lot of these, quote, small school prospects are guys that were overlooked in high school because they emerged as a senior, and all the big schools are spoken for, so they take their next best option, which is a smaller caliber of play. Then they continue to develop, and here they are, you know, 4 years later as a legitimate NFL prospect. Well, both of those guys are sort of a contrast in style. You know, James is the All-American, tons of production. He went deep. He went short underneath. He's built almost like a running back, so he's got a rugged frame to him. You know, Marcel's more one of those power forward, outside, red zone type receivers. So a bit of a contrast in style. You know, I told Mason and those guys that I thought it would give them a real advantage because here's a quarterback that's going to be able to throw to his two receivers. And they'd obviously worked together over the last number of years, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But yeah, I think with James, you know, they were here to play South Alabama back in September. And so we went out and watched them and assessed and thought that they were all worthy, of course, of being here, especially Marcel.